Good morning, Syracuse Alliance Church. It's great to be with you again. Can you believe it's been 12 weeks since we've been able to gather together? And I know we are all ready and eager to get back to worship together, and we are working on a plan to be able to do that. So please respond to the survey that we sent out. Let us know what you're thinking, and be looking out in your emails so that you'll know what our plan is for when we can come back together. And it won't be like before. We'll probably have to phase in a little bit, so just be ready for that and be patient. But let's be praying. Be praying for God to move and deliver us from the coronavirus and allowing all of us to continue to be healthy and safe. Well, you can see that Reggie is with me today. Welcome, Reggie.
Thank you, Pastor Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. And the reason is I had already prepared a sermon today, but I feel that I need to speak about what's been going on in the country. The sermon that I had can wait till next week. But as you guys probably have heard, there are protests that have been going on in the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul that have spread all over America. Major cities over the death of George Floyd, who was killed on Monday of last week. And those protests, you know, with the slogan, "I can't breathe," which was, were some of the last words that George Floyd said. And those protests for justice have also caused damage and fire in cities across America as well. So I thought it was definitely something that we needed to address when we see this kind of action, because when people go through this kind of thing, when this happens, Reggie, people look for answers. They go to their teachers, they go to their parents, they go to politicians, and when they look to the church, they need to hear from the church the answer. They need to hear an answer that is biblical, that is sound, that is true. And you, as you know, that's why, you know, Reggie, we were talking about whether I should change the message or not. And I just felt like if I go on with my message, it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in the current events. I almost feel like the church is going to be thinking, we needed some direction. We needed to hear from our pastor. Mm-hmm. What do we do during this time? So that's why we're having this discussion today. So when we think about this, what should be the voice and the message of the church? And it needs to be one first, a calming voice, right? That's first. There's a second point. We'll bring that up a little bit later. But the first thing is the church should be a calming voice. Jesus calms the storm. Even when all the crowds were around him, you could say rioting almost, mm-hmm. he was able to slip through and yes. not be touched, yes. right? He's able to, and even when they were coming at him, he was able to speak and say things in such a way that diffused the situation. So first thing is the church needs to be a calming voice, and you are part of the church, which means what you say, what you post online needs to be something that brings peace and speaks truth, but also brings peace. So, you know, and Reggie, one of the things that I think we respond against, we react against, is the extremes that we hear on the news and in the media. And let me say, in this case, the death of George Floyd, I have been encouraged by this one thing, that the major news networks who normally disagree, even in these kind of moments, mm-hmm. they disagree. They are all in agreement that this was wrong.
Right.
And let me just say, Reggie, why don't you say, what is our position as men, as Christians, and as a church regarding the death of George Floyd?
We definitely condemn the actions on behalf of the four Minneapolis ex-police officers. It was not within their rights to take a life. They had a subject under control and in custody, and the use of excessive force was not necessary. So we definitely condemn the act that they committed against Mr. Floyd.
Right. So, and want to be very clear on that we do condemn the killing and the death of George Floyd. And it's important for us to communicate this as a church so that you as a church, as a part of this church, know what to say. But also because, Reggie, we are in Syracuse and in a very diverse community. Our community is a community of color. Mm-hmm. I'd say probably majority African-American and Black. And if we are going to be a church, this is I'm passionate about this. If we're going to be a church that represents and a church of this community, that means that we're going to be a church that is extremely diverse. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that happen. Mm-hmm. I want to see our church represent heaven. And so we need to remember in heaven, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John sees heaven. And he sees people of, they're all dressed in white because they've all been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Every single one of them has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. But he sees, as he describes them, he can't describe them by the clothes because they're all wearing the same clothes. So he describes them by their ethnicity. I see people from all different languages, all different tribes, all different peoples, nations. So that's how he describes. And I say the word ethnicity because I believe that racially, we are all brothers and sisters. We are all one race. But I understand that the word race today is also used to distinguish from ethnicity. So I understand that. But in heaven, we are all going to have our sins removed. We're all going to be standing righteous before God, every single one of us. But we are not going to lose what distinguishes us from one another. Right. So our color, our differences, we will have with us to celebrate for eternity. You know, Reggie, one of the things that I think people respond against, whether, you know, even the members in the church, I know I do, are the extremes. I try to teach people when you're in a conversation, don't say always or never because we get upset about that. Yes. We react against that. So when I hear comments, like I've heard some on the media, well, all white people are racist, or everybody's racist. I react against that. I'm like, you know, and I respond against that. But then when I hear others say, "Well, racism, you know, get over it. We've overcome racism. Racism doesn't exist in America."
Right.
How do you respond against towards that?
I let them know that the video footage from this week with Mr. Floyd is evident that racism is alive and well in this country, and that we still have work to do.
Yeah, and so we want to avoid the extremes so that, because for example, if Reggie comes to me and says, everybody's a racist, I'm not going to enter into a dialogue with you. I'm not going to want to discuss it with you because you're going to that extreme. And if I come to you and say, no man, racism doesn't exist. Right. That's in the past. You're not going to want to sit down and talk to me because we're both closed off. Mm-hmm. So how do we get to a point then where we can have a dialogue?
How do we get to that point? We simply get together. We come together as Christians, as brethren and sisters in Christ, and we come together and we talk about, number one, who we are in Christ. Our identity is in Christ, not in our color, but who we should be really identified as brothers and sisters in Christ and what we do in love. Second, we just make sure that we come together and talk about this issue. Racism is not easy. But as family, we should be able to talk about this issue in love, respectfully, openly and honestly. I believe as Christians, we are obligated and we have the power to do so openly, honestly, and in love to talk about this sensitive issue that transpires in our world each and every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reggie, I have a friend in Atlanta who's also Reggie, Dr. Reginald Screen. He's a pastor and I had to do this discipleship lesson that I had to do where I had to interview someone. So I interviewed him. Mm-hmm. And so he's a Black pastor from the South. And as I interviewed him and talked with him, I had known the guy for years. Mm-hmm. And you know, I grew up in Miami and my mother is Central American. So I'm bicultural or biracial, but my skin is still white. Right? Mm-hmm. So talking to Reggie, I realized his view, his experience in America, the America that he sees, is different than the one that I see and have experienced. And it created an appreciation, an awareness I didn't have before I spoke with him. So this morning when Reggie came over, we talked for about 2 hours before we sat down here, because Reggie and I are just getting to know each other too. If you don't know, Reggie has just come on board Syracuse Alliance as our director and pastor of community transformation. So before we had this talk, we sat down and I asked Reggie, what does racism mean to you? Explain to me how what white privilege means to you, because that's being tossed all around out there. Because I wanted to know, and then I shared with you, here's what I see, or here's how I feel about that. And then we came in here to have this conversation with everybody else. But it started with a desire to understand, where I invited Reggie to my office, and I asked him, explain to me how you view what's happening right now, so that I can understand, right? So that's what dialogue is, right?
Yes.
A desire to understand someone else who is different than you are.
Yes, absolutely. There's no winning. There's no winning involved in the dialogue. Dialogue is giving each other the option to share their experiences or what they believe in, without trying to win or show yourself superior to another person.
Right. Which is the gospel. I mean, if the essence of sharing the gospel with someone is getting to a place where you can have a dialogue and earn at times the right to tell them about your Savior. So with that, the Bible tells us, Jesus' own words in Matthew 22:37. Reggie, why don't you read that for us?
This is Jesus' reply: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Okay. So, again, Syracuse Alliance, what is our first response? To be a calming voice. And then second, to be in our speech and in our actions, love. Demonstrating the love of Christ to everyone. So, in this context, the disciples, or the man who asked the question to Jesus, says, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says that first verse, love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, soul, strength, mind. And then immediately, before the guy can say anything, Jesus says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, for all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And the reason, Jesus is basically saying, listen, all the Bible, all the Old Testament prophets, you can sum it all up in these two commands. Everything hangs on these two. And he doesn't allow us to separate loving our neighbor from loving God.
Right.
And it kind of, a lot of people, sometimes you hear the phrase, how can you call yourself a Christian, or you can't call yourself a Christian if? Well, basically, the Apostle John is saying that in not so many words in the letter of 1 John, where he says, how can you say you love the God you have not seen if what?
If you can't love the brother you do see.
Right. So that's basically what John is saying. How can you call yourself a Christian, a lover of God whom you haven't seen, if you don't love your brother
that you do see?
Right. And in this story here in Matthew 22, the guy then tells Jesus, well, then who's my neighbor? And it says there to justify himself, right? So then Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, who was a foreigner, who was different, and who the Jews really didn't like and were basically racist towards, right?
Yes.
And Jesus says, that's your neighbor. And even asked him at the end, who was the guy that was the neighbor? And the guy had to admit, the Samaritan. He says, exactly. Now go and do the same. So what is our action? To be a calming voice and to be a loving voice. When we see people that are hurting, listen, if in the corona, this issue right now that we're going through, if my neighbor's dad passes away, if there's a death related to this, I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to mourn with them. If my neighbor happens to be black and all of this turmoil is going on in America, how can I love him right now? How can I love this family right now? Because as much as it hurts me, right, I look at America and what's happening in these cities and it pains me. It hurts me. I don't want to see my country going through this. Well, how much more Reggie, or how much more my neighbor? So how can I love them and comfort them during this time, calm the storm that's going on in their lives? And then the other, in Matthew chapter 5, Here's another thing. Because Jesus goes even beyond loving your neighbor, right? He says, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So, you know, we're not called to just love our neighbor,
right?
But our enemies.
Yes.
And those who persecute. And that's not easy to do. I'm not saying this is easy at all. But that's what we're called to do. And there's this image from 1996, I believe it is, a young black woman named Keisha Thomas. There was some kind of demonstration. There was this man who apparently had an SS tattoo on. He had some rebel flags on his. I don't know what led to it, but the crowd turned against this man and started to attack him. You can see here where Keisha throws herself in between the crowd, the mob, and this man, protecting him. That is such a visual depiction of what Jesus says here in Matthew, right?
Yes.
She is jumping in front of, she is defending this person who probably may not do the same thing for her,
right?
But she's doing it for him. And that demonstration can impact and change hearts and minds. So how can we love those who are different than we are? So, you know, as we think about these things, you know, Reggie, I just want to share a couple more verses and then share with you what we believe God has put on our hearts here for the city of Syracuse and for our church. So the first thing I said was, as a church, we need to be demonstrating the love of Jesus to every body, every person, no matter who they are, what color they are, what their background is. And Reggie, I was telling you earlier, sometimes it's hard for me to do that. There are certain times that I just feel uncomfortable around certain people, and it's not because of the color of skin, but there are times that it's just hard. But just because it's hard, that doesn't let me off the hook, right?
That's right.
I need to. So you and I had an encounter last week with a guy who came by the church, and it was not, I didn't feel comfortable around this person. He happened to be white, but I didn't feel comfortable about him. And after it was over, I just said, Lord, help me to know how to better respond and react and love people in like this guy, because I need to.
Right.
I need to.
We need to follow our Savior's example. Right. Jesus met the woman at the well, and the other Samaritan, where the woman came to him saying, Lord, can you give me some crumbs off of the tables? Mm-hmm. Because her daughter was sick. Jesus had these relationships with people who weren't Jewish, but because of his great love for the world, he stopped, he took the time, he made the investment to help people where they were.
Yeah.
And that's what he's called us to do. Love thy neighbor as yourself is he's calling us to do that. But the next step is loving your enemies that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in during these times that we're facing, that we're seeing right before our eyes on television, you know, we see people attacking one another because of a different skin color. We as the church has to stand up for Christ and demonstrate his love to this lost world during this time.
So like it says in Romans, to don't return evil with evil, but return evil with good. And by doing so, you heap burning coals on there. If you want to get back at somebody being mean to you, be kind to them.
Yes. Right?
I've seen it work. So the first thing is love everybody. Love, be the expression of Christ's love to everybody, and be calming. But the second thing that we need to be doing is understand that there's a moment when, okay, well, when do we speak out? When do we fight? Is there a moment? Well, absolutely there's a moment to do that. The church is first to be a calming voice, right? The pulpit, the preacher, the Christian is first to be a calming voice, always to be a loving voice, but it is also to be a voice for justice. In the civil rights movement, I mean, I'm sure that there were politicians that were making cases and arguments for civil rights, but the ones you most remember, the ones that are most quoted, the people that are most endeared from that time are the preachers.
Yes.
You know, and the most well-known of all is Martin Luther King. The preachers are supposed to speak out for righteousness and for justice and equality, and speak out against it when they don't see it, and the Christian as well. So a couple of verses here. It says in Micah 6, 7 through 8, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? In other words, sacrifices, right? Give God sacrifices, material things. He has shown you, O mortal, O man, O Christian, God has shown us what is good and what does the Lord require of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Again, humbly is the calming mm-hmm. one, but to love mercy and to act justly. So we need to be, there's a moment where we need to say that is not right.
Yes.
And to speak out against it. And that's why a lot of the people in the civil rights movement, when they protested peacefully, to say this is not right, and they went to jail to say that this is not right, because it was necessary, and it was, and they did it in the right way. So, mm-hmm. so also let me say that, you know, those who are protesting are speaking out for justice. Those who are burning buildings and creating chaos are not. You know, and maybe to some degree, again, this is all kind of related, but we know that the example that we got from Martin Luther King during the civil rights movement is one that is effective, and yes. it's right. As a Christian, again, to communicate and fight for justice in a peaceful way, but it doesn't mean that it won't cost us.
Right.
We need to be willing to pay the price. And here is Isaiah. It says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. So again, there's a moment where we're supposed to defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. You know, that's why when we're, you know, Reggie, you have mentioned, we talked about this a little bit earlier. You know, well, you'll mention, hey, it's not okay to remain silent.
No.
And so, you know, as a Black Christian man, in America, and you know, this struggle is personal for you. You understand how can others take up the fight? How can I take up the fight?
Right. I would say to the white community, particularly those who are of faith in Jesus Christ, yes, we do appreciate your support in words. We do appreciate your sympathy with tears. But we need you to stand up with and use your voice with us when we seek justice. When we're fighting at the whether it's at the local government level with the police department or the judicial system and seeking justice for those who are committing acts of unrighteousness, we need you there beside us to voice your voice saying that, yes, this behavior is wrong and we do not accept it. And that's how you bear one another burdens in Christ, by speaking up and showing your support with your words and with your actions.
Okay. And that leads me right into what I want to say to kind of close us out. And, you know, what are the things that God is calling us to do? You know, Reggie, God, as I've arrived here, you know, I moved here last year because God put the city of Syracuse and this community right around the church on my heart. So I moved my family up here and moved here, and I live right here in this community, right where the church is, near Midland and Ballantyne. To give everything that I am to the Lord and to this community. You know, and Reggie, you walked away from your career a few years ago to do what?
To help homeless and impoverished students in the Syracuse City School District. The Lord led me to a ministry called Rise Above Poverty to help students who live in poverty and homelessness in our school district by providing the basic needs that you and I often take for granted, whether it's hygiene items, soap, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrushes, or clothing items, you know, socks and underwear, a winter coat. Again, those items seem so mundane, so basic, but You know, when you don't have access to them, they are a necessity, they are our need. And many students in our school district here in Syracuse often lack those items on a daily basis. And the Lord laid upon my heart to start an organization, a ministry. When I started, it wasn't an organization, it was a ministry to help students in our schools be able to, you know, go to school and focus on their academics and not what they don't have in regards to clothing and hygiene items.
Mm-hmm. So there's, Reggie and I met last year, and with this shared desire and passion to see transformation occur, we've now come together, and he's part of the team here at Syracuse Alliance, and we want, as he mentioned, you need us to stand up, you need us to speak out, to stand with you, mm-hmm. but those protests eventually fade away. Eventually, they stop. Mm-hmm. A week, a few days, a week, 2 weeks. And I'm not sure if there have been any here in Syracuse, but the community doesn't go away, right? The area here, the South Side, North Valley, it's not going away.
Correct.
So what we want to do is more than just speak out for a few days. We want to build something like what Reggie did, where he said he saw the need and thought, it says that in James. Mm-hmm. If you see someone in need, don't just say, well, I hope you get some food and, yes. Do something. Well, he said he walked away from his career and started a nonprofit to make a difference. And we want to give you, again, if you're around here in the area, this area, Reggie, is filled with hardworking families. Mm-hmm. Moms and dads that really invest in their kids, beautiful people that are trying their hardest. At the same time, this community is the city of Syracuse struggles with graduation rates.
Yes,
almost half of students, according to the numbers, mm-hmm. who start ninth grade don't finish. That's got to change.
Yes,
right. That we've got to look at that and say that can't continue. There's a problem with drug abuse and addiction. Mm-hmm. So, how do we, and with violence, when I came here last year for the first time, there were signs all over the place that said, OGs against gun violence, right? Well, that tells you, if you see signs everywhere that say, OGs against gun violence, then it probably has a problem with gun violence. And I moved here anyway, right? I brought my wife and my kids here anyway, because, the kingdom of God is not for cowards.
Amen.
It says that. Revelation chapter 21 or 22, the last chapters of the Bible, when John sees heaven coming, the New Jerusalem, he says, I did not see. He says, there were not murderers and liars and adulterers. All of that stuff was, those people weren't in heaven. Mm. But he also said, there were no cowards. Mm. And that gets to me, because you can't be a coward and follow Christ because you have to stand up for him. And so here we are, and we want to invest in everyone in this community, no matter what color they are, or what background they are. And here are the things that we think, hey, these are the four battles. These are the four things we want to stand in the gap for. We want to fight for. And the first one is a fight for hope. Mm-hmm. We want to battle for hope. We want to battle against hopelessness, because I think that has a lot to do with the graduation rate and just an idea that it's hopeless. This is the life I'm going to live. This is, my parents were poor. I'm poor. Poverty is another thing. So how do we fight the battle for hopelessness with our youth in particular? Because when I think about this one, for me, it's about our young people and giving them faith so that they can dream again and believe again and have hope for their future. So Reggie, how do we do that?
I think one of the first things that we need to do as a church is pour the love of Christ on them. Let them know that we love them and Christ loves them. And then we try to identify what their needs are. A lot of times, many students that are in schools, no one's taking the time out to find out what do they need to succeed. We can change that here at Syracuse Alliance by finding out what can we do to help young people succeed academically. And then that can pour out into their social life. What can we do when they're not in school to help them succeed? A lot of young people are yearning for attention to help them grow from a child to a youth and adulthood. we can be that bridge that help them make that transition from childhood to adulthood here at Syracuse Alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we want to see, so some of the things we're thinking about, reading clubs or reading programs, trying to see how we can best use our facility to be able to serve the mm-hmm. community, a mentorship or coaching type program where we help them with their week to week, but also expose them to new things. Take them on trips outside of the city. Take them on cultural trips like to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. To experience the museums and just to get a vision and to be able to dream that there is a possibility for them, that college is possible. Take them to college yes. campuses, to visit college campuses. And also take them on service-type trips to mm-hmm. inner cities, to even on mission trips out of the country, and expose them to other experiences. So that's what we want to do with our youth, and we're very passionate about this. But as I mentioned, the other battle that we have here is poverty. Syracuse struggles with one of the most severe rates of concentrated poverty and generational poverty in America. Then right around the top 10. So we believe this is a fight that we need to fight yes. against. We need yep. to stand up against. So, you know, we have a food pantry here. We try to do our best to feed, but we want to do more than just feed someone for one day.
Yes.
And when we think about mentoring youth, everybody gets that. Everybody's like, yeah, absolutely. You got to mentor youth. They need mentors. They need mothers and fathers, but and if they don't have a mom or dad at home, then they need someone else that can stand in and be that role model, that mentor for them. Sometimes it's a coach, a teacher, mm-hmm. a pastor, an uncle. But adults need mentors too.
Yes.
Right? Because I mean, you got to think about it. The wealthy understand this because they have life coaches. Mm-hmm. They have personal coaches and trainers. They can afford to have someone come in and help them be better at their life. Well, same thing. If you know, Reggie, I'm not good at accounting. I'm not a detailed person. So, you know, it's people like me. They have checks bounce. They go out to eat when they shouldn't go out to eat. you know, they get things on credit instead of saving up for me because we don't manage money well. We don't always and those are things that can be taught.
Yes.
So what we want to do is mentor and coach adults on how to be parents, how to manage their resources well, which is a biblical thing, yes. to be a good manager or steward of what God's given you. So we want to help you by being able to be a mentor to you also, parents. And that's something that the members of Syracuse Alliance can also get involved in, mm-hmm. because Reggie, you and I cannot mentor all of Syracuse.
Right.
We can't mentor all the youth. You know, we need many of you to say, count me in. I'll be a mentor. I'll be a coach. So do you want to say anything about that one?
No. Yes, I do. I do believe we need the church to come alongside us to reach the community. And the only way we're going to reach the community is if we all get involved and go out and share the love of Christ to those who we know do not know him as their personal Lord and Savior. Everything that we're talking about here, you know, living a life of hope. Hope only comes through knowing Christ. You know, you want to live a life of prosperity or ending poverty. That comes through knowing Christ. And I'm not talking about financially prosperity. I'm talking about having prosperity in regards to love, peace, hope. Knowing who your sufficiency comes from, and that's Jesus Christ. So there's a lot for us to do here at Syracuse Alliance. This community, as the Lord said, the harvest is plentiful, mm-hmm. but the laborers are few. And I hope that we would change that piece of scripture here at Syracuse Alliance, where we have so many laborers that we can go out and address those in the harvest to come into yeah. his house.
Yeah, because this is, it's too big for us to do. And Jesus did say that, and he was, it was at a moment when there were thousands of people crowding in, pressing in, following Jesus. And he looks up, and, you know, to put it in today's language, he looked up and said, hey, guys, you know, we need some help.
Yeah.
We need some help. Next time you pray, ask the Father to send some more workers, because we need help mm-hmm. to get this done. So if even Jesus understood that and taught them, the same thing, guys, we need workers. We need you to come in and be a part of this And you may be a part of Syracuse Alliance, or you may be someone in the community that's not a member of the church, but you're looking for a way to use what you have. You're an accountant, and you're not using it besides for your job. But you can use accounting to help someone else learn how to manage their money. So a musician, and you can use that to help a student who loves music learn music. So there's other ways. So if you have a skill or a talent or an ability, and you don't have a program or a ministry that you're using it to help others with, then I just want to open the doors to you here and say, come by, check us out, let's talk, email us, and let's see how we can help you use the talents, gifts, education, knowledge that you have to help people in this community who need those same skills and abilities. So the last two things that we want to fight for very quickly, these won't take long, the last two, the battle for freedom and the battle against addiction. So for me, this is, we mentioned addiction, freedom from addiction, but it's not just addiction. There's, we all have hurts and hang-ups and hurdles in our lives that really hold us back. Reggie, it can be, addiction is an obvious one. It's very, we get how an addiction can cause us to lose our family and lose our job. But you may not have a substance abuse problem, but there are wounds, there are hurts, there are hang-ups. Either you were abandoned as a child, abused as a child, and those wounds make it so that you don't trust, you can't have a healthy relationship. You've gone from person to person. You struggle holding down a job, and it's not because you have a substance abuse problem, but there are still some real deep wounds, and maybe you don't have the resources or the money to go see a psychiatrist or a counselor. If you can, we recommend that. But we also believe that there is power in Jesus Christ to heal our bodies, our minds, and our souls. So we want to be an instrument. We want to stand up and say, hey, we want to see the people in this community whole and healed emotionally from the things that are the hang-ups and hurts and hurdles. And Reggie, the last one is we want to fight the battle against violence. So why don't you share a little bit about that, how we want to fight against violence.
You know, we talked about him earlier. That's Dr. Martin Luther King. And he says the way to overcome hate is by love. And I believe there's a lot of hate, as a result of the hate in the world today, there's a lot of violence that takes place. And I'm not just talking about Minneapolis at this time. I'm talking about right here in Syracuse. The amount of gun violence that's in this city has continued to rise in the last couple of years. I want to say the last decade, gun violence has continued to escalate. And I believe that the reason for that is there's not enough love in the community. And so what I want us to do here at Syracuse Alliance, I want us to be a church known for our love for the community. Amen. And the only way we can do that is by going out and not just saying it with our mouths, but by doing it with our actions to say, hey, we love you. We want you to come learn more about us here at Syracuse Alliance. So if we're gonna overcome gun violence in this city, we have to do it by the love of Christ.
Yeah. So, what we're saying with this, and that one about love is really the underlying one that is in all of the others. Mm-hmm. And if the other three are accomplished through love, then love will be the natural outcome that we'll experience and see. So the focus there is love, combating violence. We're not going to go and lobby against the gun companies and everything. Mm-hmm. Although those are things that should be done. We want to love people and combat violence by changing their hearts and demonstrating the love of Christ in their lives and in our lives. So, again, if you're a part of our church, this is what we want to see happen. And even though we can't meet together right now corporately to do these things, these are things we should be doing because the nature of church for the last 3 months has changed and it's going to change for the next few months, where the nature of ministry in church is going to have to look differently. So it's going to rely more on the individual. It's going to rely more on you doing these things and living them out where you work, where you play. And again, if you're new, if you're finding us online, we want you to know that this is a place, especially if you're right here around this community of Syracuse, and it's Syracuse Alliance Church. Look us up, connect with us. And as soon as you see that our doors are open, we want you to come by and visit us. We want to know who you are. And you can even email us ahead of time just to get more information, just to introduce yourself. And Reggie and I would love to be able to just, you know, start that email dialogue back and forth with you. And together, share the love of Jesus with this community and transform our community. So Reggie, would you close us out in prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day and this time that you've given us to have the courageous conversation about racism, Lord. Father, we just pray that that you would help us as your people demonstrate your love at all times, not just with those who we know, but those who we may not know, those who persecute us, those that may hate us, Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, help us to emulate you as to what you have done it when you walked this earth as God-man and mm-hmm. how you demonstrated love to those who offended you, who attacked you, Lord. Father, give us the strength, give us the wisdom, Lord, to do the same who we may cross paths with. And Father, for Syracuse Alliance Church, I pray that you continue to build us up to be willing servants to go out into the harvest, Lord, mm-hmm. and share with them the great love that you have for our community, Lord. I truly believe, Lord, that the community that we're surrounded by do not know just how much mm-hmm. you love them,
That's
Lord.
Right.
Father, I pray that as we go out and about to the highways and the byways, Lord, that we would be strengthened, we would be encouraged, and we would be ready to tell our community that Jesus loves you, and so do we here at Syracuse Alliance Church. Father, I just thank you for this time, and I just pray for your blessings mm-hmm. as we depart from this session. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, and I'm Tony. This is Reggie. We love you. We love all of you in the community and in our church. And we will see you very soon. God bless.